Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be joined by Ann Texter. Ann is a self-taught photographer, originally from Kansas, now living in Austin, Texas. She specializes in toy cameras, medium format, large format, Polaroid, and all kinds of various types of photography. She's an active member of the Austin Alternative Process Group and the Texas Photographic Society. She has fabulous work, beautiful Polaroid stuff. You got to check her website out, www.annntexter.com. Without further ado, let's chat with Ann. Ann, how you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Thanks for asking.
Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photo. Great to have you on the program today to talk about yourself and your beautiful photography. This is very cool.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Ann, tell us about yourself. People that don't know who you are, tell us what kind of photography you do. Tell us what you like to shoot.
Well, my favorite film of all is Polaroid film. And as we all know, that's no longer available. But I still have a stash in my refrigerator, so I still enjoy that as much as possible. 4x5. I have some of the 3.25 by 4.25. I love doing Polaroid transfers, and I recently purchased some of the new Impossible Project PX100 film from my SX70. I had shot my last two boxes of that probably last year and put that away in a closet, and I was really sad, thinking I was never going to get to use it again. So I'm really excited that they're going to make me be able to bring that camera back out. I have a lot of vintage cameras. I enjoy shooting, most recently, my Rolleiflex. That's been a lot of fun. I have a couple of wide-angle cameras. A Widelux is one of them. And then I also have a Horizon Compact. And those are a lot of fun as well. I seem to kind of grab a camera with a mood. The other thing that I've been doing recently that I really enjoy that I didn't quite think I would get into, but I absolutely love it, is some photographic mixed media with vintage cabinet cards and a mixture of Photoshop. I've enjoyed doing that a lot as well.
Yeah, those look very cool. They can see these on your website as well. You have that under your mixed media. That's really cool. And tell me about how you got into photography. When did you get the bug?
When I was younger, I think my parents always allowed me to have a camera here or there. I recall taking cameras to camp and whatnot. But in high school, my choir had won a competition in Kansas. I grew up in Kansas. And the competition that we won, they said that we could go and compete in Austria. And several of us were able to get on this tour that was going to go to Europe for 27 days. And so my mom and my aunt wanted to make sure that I was able to go. So one of the items that I got brand new to take with me was a Pentax K1000 35mm camera. And I still have one. And I absolutely love that camera. And that's pretty much when I kind of got the bug and I fell in love with photography at that point.
With the Pentax K1000, did you pursue photography through high school? How did you progress with this obsession?
I shot that camera through high school, just mostly for fun. When I went to the University of Kansas, believe it or not, I enrolled to major in accounting. I enjoyed the class in high school, and so I was going to be an accountant. As soon as I got into that class at the university, it was about 3 weeks into the class, I realized that everything I'd learned in high school, we'd already gone over in that first 2 weeks, and it just wasn't fitting me. So I had kind of turned back around to my love of photography, and I decided to try to pursue possibly advertising, thought about shooting, you know, Vogue magazines. Fashion photography always looked very exciting to me, so I thought maybe I'll go in this direction. So I signed up for 3 history photography classes in a row, and I took those, and I really enjoyed learning all about all the historic processes and the old photographers. And then I finally signed up to take a darkroom class, and I was really excited about learning how to use the enlarger and develop my own film. And I did do that. The professor was more involved in what does your picture mean. Every time that we would go to class, he wanted to know the deeper meaning hidden between all of the images, and that really wasn't what I had wanted to learn. I think I got a little bit turned off by that class. I wanted to learn more how to make wonderful prints and shoot better pictures. It still kept me inspired, but life takes on many turns, and I went in a different direction with my life after that, and I ended up moving to Texas, and it wasn't up until about, I'd say, 1999 or 2000 that my bug returned to me, and thanks to the help of the internet, there's just so many amazing websites out there where you can upload your work and converse with other photographers and meet other people. I started uploading some of my work to, I think it was usefilm.com was one place. There was just a lot of photographers out there shooting Holgas and Wokas and Dianas, and I fell in love with that, and I had to find out how was I going to be able to do that. So I purchased my first Holga, and it was just kind of love at first sight, and it just seems from that point it's sort of snowballed with me. Back when I was at the university, it wasn't an art school, so I really didn't think that all of this historic processes and the history of photography that I had learned about was possible in today's age. I didn't really know that. I wasn't around that. And so being out on the internet, you can see that it is possible. I guess I became a big kid in a candy store. I hit eBay like you wouldn't believe, and I must have bought probably 40 vintage cameras. Just start Googling things and learning about things and inquiring, and I just kind of went crazy for a while.
And what was the attraction for the Holga? Why did that sort of spark your interest in getting back into doing photography again?
I think the attraction to the Holga images was how they look so vintage. I guess I'm one of those people that you would call an old soul. I love old things. I love antiquing. Some days, like if I'm in a bad mood, I'll leave for my work lunch break and I'll go walk around an antique store for an hour. It just always makes me feel better to be around just old stuff and vintage things. And I think that the look of those images just kind of drew me in, that you could take a photograph of something outside today, even if it were just a brand new car or a McDonald's sign, and it looks like you took it 40 or 50 years ago. It just really was something that drew me in, and I enjoyed that a lot, being able to have that freedom to portray something that you see now and just make it look like it was done many years ago.
So out of the different Holgas and varieties, which one do you like the best? A 120S? There's other ones. What do you like?
I'm old school. The original ones. Is that the 120S, 120N? I can't remember.
Yeah, the 120S is the original, or there was the Woga, and then the GN now is the glass.
Yeah, the 120S with the plastic lens. The real simple, old school, put some tape on the back and go. That's the one that I really enjoy. Some of the newer things are fun, but I like my images to be, I guess you would say, as raw as possible. I do use Photoshop. I do scan my negatives. But aside from my photographic mixed media, I pretty much use Photoshop as if I were in a dark room just to clean up dust. often just to make sure that the image is scanned nice. So I really enjoyed the original one. I have, I don't know, 4 or 5 Holgas. I had purchased one specifically from Holgamod. Are you familiar with them?
Yep.
Randy. Love Randy. I had bought the Polaroid back for the Holga, the original one that took the Type 80 film. That was my second favorite.
Looking at your work, it tends that you gravitate towards black and white, or is that typically just with the Holga because of the way it looks?
I think originally I did gravitate towards black and white. Like I said before, as I hate to sound like a broken record, but it just looks so old. As an artist, we seem to grow and change, and I've kind of grown to like color more. I don't tend to grab color film if I'm going to shoot my Holga, but most definitely if I get another camera, I'm going to grab some color film. I like to cross-process film. That's a lot of fun.
Are you processing your own black and white?
Unfortunately, no. I tried to process some black and white about 5 years ago, and I did for a little while, and I can still do it, but life gets crazy and in the way, so time constraints, I have it done locally. It just saves me a lot of time.
Let's chat about the Polaroid work. The Polaroid work is fabulous.
Thank you.
What was your original interest in the Polaroid? Was it the Polaroid back you got for the Holga and it moved from there? What sparked this interest in doing this very cool instant photography?
I think my original intrigue into the Polaroid was I had seen some of the Polaroid image transfers online, and they're just so absolutely amazingly beautiful. I had to try it. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And at first, I had told myself that it was probably going to be much too expensive to buy the equipment and buy the film and the paper. And I started looking into it and researching it, and it wasn't that expensive at all, thanks to eBay. I've decided that the route that I was going to take was I was going to shoot slides and use a Daylab or a Vivitar processor. And so I bought a Vivitar processor and I started shooting slides. And I figured that way it would enable me, if I made a mistake, I could keep trying until I got it right. And I think my second or third try, I had gotten one that turned out really well and that was hooked. I just fell in love with it. It was very painterly and I liked the muted colors and it just turned out to be a lot of fun.
Now, have you played around doing image transfers with the Fuji material?
I have not. I had read about the Fuji transfers, and the process was somewhat different than the Polaroid. When you peel apart the film, you have to peel it in the dark, and it's also a dry process, which you can do with the Polaroid, but it was more finicky, and I really enjoyed being able to do the wet process with the Polaroid, so I haven't decided to go that direction yet. I'm kind of a Polaroid purist right now, I guess, until all of my film is depleted in my refrigerator. Maybe I'll have to take another turn.
You can do wet process with a Fuji pack film.
Can you? Well, yeah. I'll have to do some more research then.
It's a little thicker emulsion, yeah.
And like I said, the ability to peel it outside was kind of put me off a little bit. I've done a couple with my Holga back when they made the Type 80 film. And go driving, and I'd take some water with me and my roller and a board and go out in the country and take a couple pictures. You can do it outside in the daylight, or a lot of times I would do them at home in my kitchen with my Vivitar. Just the fact that you don't have that freedom kind of turned me off. But like I said, once the fridge is empty, I'll probably go into mourning for about a week or two, and then I'll have to revisit a few things maybe.
So most of the Polaroid work that you like or have been doing has been all 4x5?
Yeah, I mean, the Polaroid transfers and then the 4x5. Now, the Polaroid transfers I did were the Type 669 film, which is a 3.25x4.25.
Yep.
And I've done a couple with the 4x5, but I enjoyed doing the transfers more with the 669 film. The 4x5, I have a 1950s Crown graphic camera that I enjoy a lot, and I have shot nothing with that camera but 4x5 Polaroid film. Again, once it's gone away, we'll have to do something else.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to find anymore, and when you do, it's really expensive.
It is, absolutely. I don't know, I used to always joke, buy me a box of Polaroid film instead of a Tiffany's box, but I think today a Tiffany's box would probably be cheaper than a box of Polaroid film.
This is true. And tell me about this vibrant community of artists going in Austin. I seem to find that there's quite a bit of cool photography going on in Austin.
Oh, absolutely there is. I was really fortunate to find a couple of really great groups that I guess I attend meetings regularly. There's the Austin Alternative Processes Group, and they're just amazing. It's a small core group, but they have a Yahoo email address. Anybody that signs up for it will get emails, so any type of information that anybody has, they'll send out, and it goes all over the place. We meet once a month, and there's just some amazing people in there. They're just brilliant, good people to know. I always say that if someday film is no longer available, those are the people I can go to because they know how to make it. I mean, they know a lot about all of the chemistry and how things were done back then. They can do it now. Just really nice people and very, very supportive of everything. And then the other group that I was able to join is the Texas Photographic Society. And they meet quarterly, and they have a Photo Texas weekend. I think it's about every September. But I was just so fortunate to have met a few people that I call really good friends. And it's just nice to have that camaraderie with people that are like-minded and enjoy the same things. And yeah, a lot of them are just right here in Austin. Lots of gallery shows to go to, and it seems to be growing. So it's a really great thing. I like being around an art community like that. It's just perfect. It just keeps you energized and keeps you excited about what you're doing and makes you want to continue on and do more.
I definitely think it helps out a lot. And when you're working on these pictures you're shooting, do you have a preset notion when you go out to shoot? Okay, I want to go find some old cards today, or I want to do this, or do you just sort of venture out and who knows what you're going to catch?
Yeah, I used to kind of have a preset notion about what I wanted to find, but I found that I'd end up not doing anything. There's a really good friend of mine, and she and I sometimes will go out shooting together, and she would shoot 5 rolls of film to my 1. I guess I'm kind of picky, so I kind of stopped putting together these lists or whatever because I would just waste my day. So anymore, I like to load up my car with a bunch of different cameras and just drive and just stop whenever I see something. A lot of people ask me, what types of images do you like to shoot? And that is the hardest question for me to answer. A lot of people go, oh, I love landscapes or I love doing portraits. And I like doing everything. I think it's whatever catches my eye.
When you're putting together these bodies of work for the shows and you've had stuff published in lots of magazines and in shows, how do you do your submission? Do you try to group things together as a genre or just whatever you like and that's what you send in?
It basically depends upon the theme of the show. If they want 5 images, I try to put 4 that kind of go together. Then I always kind of throw in 1 extra picture that I really, really love. Something kind of out there because you never know if it's a particular theme. I like to maybe pull something from a different piece of what I do. Maybe I'll pull in a couple Polaroids or some toy camera shots. There's not really a method to my madness. I just kind of go with my gut.
No, I love that about the photography because, like you said, it's sort of all over the board and there's just so much variety of different cool things.
Thank you.
So out of all the pictures on your website, what's your favorite one?
Really good question. I'd have to say there's a Polaroid 55 image that I took of my dad. He's wearing a cowboy hat and it's a little crooked. That was actually the very first Polaroid 55 I ever shot with my Crown Graphic. And the first time I used that Crown Graphic. My dad's awesome. He's been my best model. He'll do anything. And I think he sat there for about 45 minutes with me. No, not yet. I got to get it right. And one time I went home to visit. It was back in Kansas. And I told him I had a couple of ideas to do some images. And I wanted to use him in it. And of course, he's fine. So it must have been 104 degrees that day. My parents live outside of a little town, Benton, Kansas. And this gentleman had an antique mall. And he had just vintage cars lined up down the row. I wanted to take Dad up there, but I didn't want to shoot his face. I wanted to shoot his feet, and he had these. Did you ever watch WKRP in Cincinnati?
Yep.
My dad had what I guess you would call some Herb Tarlick shoes. They were white with the big silver buckles.
Yeah.
And I don't think Dad's thrown anything out of his closet since 1970, but he put those on, and then he actually found an old pair of plaid polyester pants, and he came out of that. He's like, well, will these do? I was like, absolutely. But back to the story that Dad will do anything. It was 104, so we went up there, and I shot, I think I was using my Holga, and we got done, and when we were driving back home, he got out of the truck, and it was so hot outside the sole, the glue, it fell off of his shoe.
Oh, my.
I know. He's a good sport. But back to the original, so that Polaroid 55 is my favorite image of my dad. It meant a lot to me that he would sit that long, and I like that one a lot.
It's a great photo. It's very cool.
Thank you.
So with all these different things that you can do now with hybrid technologies and what's left with the Polaroid, and they're still making plastic toy cameras, different ones all the time, what do you look forward to doing? What do you want to do that you haven't got to do yet?
Well, I really enjoyed doing the photographic mixed media, and I want to get a few more images in that portfolio, that set. And probably by the end of this year, I hope to have like 25 or 30 of those. And I would really like to start submitting them to galleries around. I think it'd be a lot of fun to have a solo show of those images. And my dream job would be to run a gallery. I would love to do that and be able to promote people's work. They don't really submit their work. Maybe they don't think they're good enough. And you see so much stuff on the internet all the time. But it's expensive, and especially being in Austin, to get a good space where you're going to be able to have traffic and people come by to stop in it. I can't afford that right now. So I had come up with the idea to maybe try to do a magazine. a photography magazine. I know there's a lot out there, but trying to think of a different twist on it, another niche. And so maybe be a gallery in paper right now for me, which I think would be really exciting to do. And those two things are high on my list right now.
Well, the magazine idea is a great thing because with electronic publishing now and the iPad and the web, you can do stuff and even have stuff printed pretty economical on low volume. So I think it brings the opportunity to anybody.
Right. It sure does. And so I'm still researching that and looking into it, but it's definitely something that's high upon my list of things to do that I think that I would really enjoy and that would continue to keep me going forward.
Ann, tell me about your favorite film. Of course, we know about the Polaroid, but tell me about black and white and color. What do you like to shoot?
I don't exactly have a favorite black and white film or color film. I have had so many people over the years give me bags of film. I have a refrigerator full, you name it. There's everything in there. I've got Kodak, I've got Ilford, I've got Fuji. I mean, it's just like with my photography. I enjoy so many different things that I can't single out myself on one thing. I'm a good consumer for everybody.
That's cool. Do you find that you take a camera everywhere you go?
I do try to. I usually at least have one camera in my car at all times, no matter what. It may be different per day, but I try to. Because you just never know where you're going to miss that great opportunity. Some days maybe I never pull it out, and then other days I might take a little drive on my lunch break and shoot. Sometimes I feel like if you haven't got to do something that you love for a while, you get kind of edgy, maybe. I might be a little bit cranky, and so I think I need to go tear a couple shutters quick today. It always makes me feel better.
Yeah, I think it lets you open up and just cleanses your brain and wash away day-to-day mundane tasks, and let's go find something cool to shoot.
Absolutely. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and Grace, she's like, Mommy, you're in a bad mood. You need to go take a picture. So it works.
Have you found that since you had your child that your outlook on photography has changed or what you're shooting?
Well, Grace is definitely my other number one model next to my dad. And my outlook on photography is still, I think, the same as it was. I'm really an analog addict. I'm not anti-digital at all. Sometimes it does come in handy. But something that I always think about, like I buy all those vintage cabinet cards and they're so old. But they're just so amazingly beautiful and they're still preserved today. I mean, some of them are 100 years old. And I like the fact that I can go back home to my parents' house and get a couple of pictures and I'd pick up the negatives. I still have the negatives. I can make prints from pictures that were taken of me when I was younger. So something that I do today is I do make sure that I take a lot of pictures of Grace and stuff with film so that when she's older, she will have those negatives. And as long as you take care of them and store them properly, you'll have them forever. I think I had started collecting the cabinet cards just because I love photography and I love old pictures. And I was fortunate to see a show here in Austin of Maggie Taylor's work. It just absolutely blew me away. It was just amazing work. You don't want to copy someone, but it just really inspired me. And there's got to be something that I can do similar to this. And it's something that I found that I could do maybe when you can't get out or go take a nice drive. It does get really hot in Texas. Sometimes in the summer, you just don't feel like it. So having that extra outlet for me was something that really helped keep me going. You'd see somebody's image and they totally photoshopped it and you could tell. And I had to get over, I guess, my purest ways of thinking. And I did. Like the end of a movie, if you've seen a movie where they have a lot of animals in it and they have the credit and it says no animal was harmed in the making of this film. Well, one of these days when I get my mixed media images together, I'd like to do a book of them. And at the end of the book, it will say, in the creating of this art, none of the original images were harmed. I've gone to antique stores, and you know, you see some of these crafty people, and they've picked up some of those cabinet cards, and they've got them for sale, but they've got, like, wires stuck through them, and buttons glued to them, and bows, and they've colored on them. And it's just like, oh, no, no, no. It hurts. It hurts my heart to see that. So I try to rescue as many as I can.
Well, you're right. I mean, this stuff's a piece of history, so why destroy it?
That is a piece of history, yeah.
No, they are fabulous, and I think if people dig around and look for them, you could pick them up pretty economically priced, and they are very unique.
Absolutely, they are. Sometimes you get lucky, and people don't have them priced too high, and other times they're a little too high. It really depends on what the image is. Sometimes if I'm going to pay a little more, but you can usually find them for $4 or $5 a piece, or sometimes $2. Just depends on where you look and how willing you are to look, because they're usually like all in a big stack. I'll go in. If I have time, and you just sit and go through them one at a time, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right, is looking through them, trying to find something cool. And when you actually find something that's really cool, it's like the big score.
Oh, absolutely. Big score. I also collect tintypes as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You haven't tried making any yet?
I have. I have tried, but not through the original collodion process. I have done, I guess they call it more the contemporary twin type liquid emulsion.
Yep.
And I've done a few of those. I think I started doing those about a couple of years ago. I've done a couple of sets of those, and it's a lot of fun. Again, I had decided, much like I did with the Polaroid, that this is a process where it takes some time, and I wanted to learn the ins and outs of it. I mean, not to be perfect, but not to make a whole lot of mistakes and try to get the most for your money. So I had seen where an artist had shot Scala slides, the black and white slides, which they actually still process at DR5. Thank goodness. Those guys are great. And so you can project the positive to the emulsion on the tin, and you get your reversal developer and your fixer, and you can do it that way. So I did try those, and I do enjoy doing those very much.
Now, the DR5 deal, isn't that cool to actually be able to get black and white chrome? It's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah, that's really great. I'm so glad they're still in business, and I hope they stay in business, and I do my best to keep them in business. It's really great to have that option. It just seems like so many of the labs around are going away. So it's great that somebody's that specialized, and they're really quick, too, and reasonably priced. Sound like a commercial for them, but they're great.
No, really, you're a happy customer. That's good.
It's
good to let other people know that there's a cool service out there, and when you're happy about it, it's cool to tell people. It's better than advertising.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me here, where would we find out more information about your work, what you're doing, your website, where they can see all the cool stuff that you're up to?
I have a website, which is www.antexter.com, ANNTEXTER.com. And I also have my work on Flickr. I think it's under Annabelle Texter.
Yeah, this is beautiful work, Anna. I really appreciate you joining today just to chat about your photography. I think people need to go over to your website and look and check your Flickr stream out, that it's very unique and it's just great stuff. It's refreshing and it's cool and it's different, but it's unique. It's you. I like it. It's great.
Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be on your show, and I just appreciate it. It's my passion, and I really do enjoy being able to share it with people.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell you have a passion for it. So, Anne, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Anne Texter, beautiful photography. She's a great gal. You definitely need to check her website out at www.annetexter.com. Beautiful work, lots of inspiration, just a lot of great photography. She's a great person. Definitely check out her portfolio, her website. Great work. The Inside Analog Photo Radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org, and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shippard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.